Hello, Internet. My name's Jonathan Cook.
And I'm Matt Noble.
And on this week's podcast, we're going to be talking about an animated film, not a Pixar animated film. Matt, what have you tricked me into?
Zootopia. Yes, I know it's always difficult to get you to see animated movies, Jonathan, like from back when we did the Lorax podcast that you didn't go and see the movie.
The infamous, the one and only podcast we've ever done where I have not seen the topic being discussed that week. Do I regret it? No, I stand by my my ridiculous Pixar bias. So what made you want to see Zootopia, Matt?
A couple of things. One, I had a group of friends that were going to see it. It's a good group. It's a new group of friends. Like, new as in, like, I've been friends with them just this year, like, sort of thing. So, and they'd organise a trip to Zootopia.
And new friends. You can't be too edgy with your film choices. You can't be too elitist because you've only just sort of got the foot in the door with the friendship group.
Yeah, I'd say I'm a pretty solidified member now, though.
Didn't want to mess that up.
I think I can even pick a movie. Anyway, and we've got a name, the group. We're called the Foxtrot Group. So this is a movie about a fox. So it was, like, very apt. I think it's actually called the Foxtrot Gang. I think it's our WhatsApp chat group name, so...
you just didn't want to sound too intimidating to the Screen Verdict listeners.
Yeah. So we're the Foxtrot Gang. And we were all going, and we went to the cinemas at Chatswood. Do you know, do you remember Chatswood Cinemas, Jonathan?
The Chatswood Hood, our old stomping grounds.
Yes. Well, they've redone the cinemas, and now the seats go up, like, the bottom, and they, like, you press buttons and it, like, reclines you back and stuff. It's, like, wonderful.
They've said, if we're gonna be paying $19 a ticket, I want to put my feet up.
Yeah, so it's really fun. So we all sitting in our row together, and we didn't know this was the first time we'd been to Chatswood Cinema since the redos. So we're all, like, sitting next to each other, and we've all got our feet up. And one of the girls, Grace, couldn't make the movie, so we sent her a photo of us all enjoying the, like, through the WhatsApp group. We sent the photo of us all, like, loving these amazing seats. I think she was just a bit jelly that she could have come with us.
Fab seats, one time only. Sorry you missed out.
That was the one time they're taking them out next.
Sponsored by Zootopia.
Yeah, it was probably pretty dickish of us since she gave us, like, a free ticket so we could go see the movie for one of us.
It was her idea.
But anyway, that was good. So that was fun. That's what I want to see. But I also saw the trailer. It looked really fun. Like, the animation looked cool. It looked funny. I saw the ad with the sloth putting his finger down really slowly. That cracked me up. So
the world's longest trailer.
Yeah, yes.
I was watching. I was like, is this a short film? Like, what? Yeah.
Well, it's interesting. I hear that sloth. His name was, what was his name? Speed or something?
Yeah, something like that. Rocket, Speed, something like that. Yeah.
Dash? I don't know. I'm going to check this because I feel like...
Lightning.
It was... Flash. It was Flash.
Flash.
Yeah. Flash. Did he direct Batman vs. Superman? Or writers or something? Like, his claws were all over that.
Oh, man. I can't wait for the director's cut. Oh, my.
How did I convince you to go to Zootopia?
Well, you came up with this crazy notion. You said, I bet you if I compare the last three Pixar films to the last three Disney animated films. That was it, right? The Disney animated films. You'd be surprised which is better. And I was like, what are you talking about?
Let's quickly do the list then. Like, I think that's a good thing for us to think through. So the last, I think I may have said four or five or something.
I think it was three. Let's do three, just for the time's sake.
Well, I'm a bit, with Inside Out in the mix, I'm a bit worried at 3.
Yeah.
So, for Pixar, we've got Good Dinosaur.
Yeah.
We've got Inside Out.
Yeah.
We've got Monsters University.
Right, but you probably did say 5.
Yeah. We've got Brave, and we've got Cars 2.
Yeah, all right, there you go.
I think that sounds like what I was saying.
It's quite a steep curve.
Yeah. So then the last 5, Disney, we've got Zootopia.
Yeah.
What are the others?
I can't be around clicking. The podcast machine picks up. The clicking sounds too loudly on my end.
I should have used my phone. My bad. Apologies to the listeners. I've got it up. Okay.
I guess the interns took the day off.
Big Hero 6.
Yes.
Have you seen that one?
I have not seen Big Hero 6, but I heard good things.
Yeah, good thing. Won the Oscar. Deserved winner. Okay. Frozen. Wreck-It Ralph. And
is it Winnie the Pooh?
It is Winnie the Pooh, which is interesting. No Tangled in there.
So, at first I thought it was a ridiculous thing to say. But I didn't particularly like Brave. I didn't particularly like Cars 2.
Two strikes.
And I didn't particularly like Frozen, and I didn't particularly like Wreck-It Ralph. So that's 2v2.
Do you put them on par, though?
I do.
Oh, okay. Fair enough. Continue.
And so then we had Monsters University, which was good but not great. Good Dinosaur, good but not great. And then Inside Out was absolutely fantastic.
Amazing. And without question, other than Zootopia, which we'll be reviewing later, we'll be giving a score to later, without question, Inside Out is the best movie of all the movies we've just listed.
And I hadn't seen Big Hero 6 or Winnie the Pooh, so I couldn't instantly rule out what you had said, because I'd heard good things about those. So I couldn't dispute you off the bat. So Zootopia, my opinion on Zootopia will weigh quite heavily into that discussion.
Yeah, because if you don't like Zootopia, the other two probably won't be good enough with Inside Out on the other side of the ledger.
Yeah.
Okay. I like it. We now got some stakes on this review. I love it. So who did you see? Because you were originally meant to see it with your sister when you were in Sydney. I was meant to see it with my sister. We both obviously got better offers. Is that...
Well, my sister got the better offer. On Tuesday or something, I said, oh, do you want to see Zootopia this week? And then on Thursday, I said, oh, do you want to see it Saturday? She said, oh, I saw it yesterday. I was like, what? You didn't even give me 48 hours to plan. All right.
Oh, no. Disaster. Anyway.
But I saw it with Bonnie, who may be coming home any second.
Oh, she can love to hear. Love to hear her take on Zootopia.
Bonnie's funny with animated movies because she says she doesn't enjoy them, but whenever we watch them, she always does. So we'll see if I can get her to admit, based on her opinion on Zootopia, whether she likes animated movies.
Yeah. Okay, so let's actually talk about Zootopia now, I guess. That's probably what some people have clicked the link for that.
Zootopia. What's the premise?
Well, it's set in Zootopia.
Could have guessed.
It's the location sort of thing. This is a world where animals coexist. There aren't animals eating other animals. They dress like people. It sort of seems like it's a world without humans, right? And without humans causing all their drama, the animals have sort of figured it out on their own. They sort of figured out, hey, well, let's just not eat each other. Let's just... you know, run shops and farm and...
have bakeries instead of eating each other.
Yeah.
So we have these humanized animals And within the world, I guess, different animals suit different things. So everybody sort of gets on. Nobody eats each other anymore. But maybe if you're a large animal, you're a stronger animal, that might give you some status and make you more suited towards one thing. And then if you're a rabbit, per se, you're a teeny little rabbit, you might not be so suited to be, let's say, in the police force. How are you going to arrest anyone? You're so tiny. How are you going to cuff them? No one's going to respect you as a little tiny rabbit. Unless being a police officer is really what you want to do.
And this does go to even small little things like just like there's an ice cream shop for elephants and hippos and things because they make massive ice creams. Like, you know, like a mouse would probably kill a mouse if they tried holding the ice cream. And then they've got a little like rodent village where it seems like they've got really little shops and things like that. So, what did you think of the whole world of Zootopia? Like all these different shops. I remember there was one thing at the station where like it would like shoot the little like juice or whatever up to the giraffe so it could reach it and things. Like, oh, that was a really cool design. Like the whole world and how they put it together.
Yeah, I thought it was really well thought out. You know, what would be the living situation for a squirrel as opposed to a rhinoceros. And as well as just the sort of like the housing, they also had different environments. Zootopia was split up into different areas. We had downtown, it was more like a human city, but then they had, what was it called, like the rainforest village, and then tundra town for the polar bears and things, and then,
Sahara Square. The rainforest district.
So,
where would you live if you had to live in any of these areas?
All right, let's see. So, downtown's probably be the easiest fit off the bat, but you know that's just going to get overpopulated and gentrified, and rent's just going to go through the roof. So, unless I could afford to buy early, I'm going to get priced out of there. Sahara's way too pale for Sahara Square.
Yeah, I think that'd be uncomfortable. You get uncomfortable at Sahara Square.
I'd be Tundra Town. Not a big fan of the cold. Growing up in Sydney, now living in Los Angeles, not really prepared for that. Maybe Rainforest District. It's going to be a bit hot and humid, but, you know.
Damp, a bit damp, I reckon.
Yeah, but the rain cools you down, and it's nice, lots, some good scenery, lots of foliage.
I think I'd be in the city. I really think I'd be in the city. I think all the other places would be fun places to go on a holiday to.
Probably, maybe on the border of downtown and Rainforest District. So if I want to get into the jungle, do a bit of a hike, I can. I want to go to the city.
Yes.
But rent's not as expensive because I'm not in the middle of the action.
I like it. I think that's a good call. And I guess you could also choose to live in Bunny Barrow, where Officer Hops is from. So, Jonathan, that's sort of the main character in the movie, or at least one of the two main characters is Judy Hopps, who's a little rabbit who has dreamed her whole life of being a police officer. But rabbits aren't police officers. They're too little. They can't do the policing.
Yeah, I think she's a great character because she's super idealistic, super positive, super kind, and, perhaps a little bit Leslie Knope-ish in some ways.
Yeah, I see a bit of Leslie Knope in her.
And, when someone tells you you can't do... John, don't tell me what I can't do. You want to see them do it. So you're really rooting for her to make the police force.
Yeah. And she does. That's not even that big a part. Like, you just... And then she grows up and she's a police officer. She's the first rabbit police officer ever on the force.
And she gets rewarded for that with the highly prized duty of parking duty.
Yeah. Yes. And it looks like that... Like, because they made a bit of a song and dance about appointing her to the police force. It seems like they were wanting a more diverse police force, but they actually don't think a rabbit would do a good job, so they just give her something pretty easy to do.
Not what she wanted. It wasn't the high-profile crimes, but she decided to make the best of it. She said, well, I'm going to get the most tickets. I'm going to follow any leads I can. And this leads her to...
Oh, look who it, is.
Hello.
Hello. We're here.
We are. I can...
Can we talk?
Yes. You're on the podcast.
We brought our dinner home. Can we...
Yeah, I'm moving. I'm getting kicked out. Podcast HQ has been relocating to the bedroom.
We're on the move. Oh my gosh. But not like to you who's listening to us right now. You just stay where you are. We'll
now, anything for former podcast guest Bonnie Eford.
That's
What's your 10-second thoughts on Zootopia?
Yeah, Zootopia, Bunny.
Oh, it was great. I highly recommend it.
Well, there we go. Loved it. Was it good for an animated film?
Yes, because I'm not a huge animated film person, so I liked it.
So, yeah, I told you she'd say that. Yeah. All right, well, there you go. That's one for Zootopia. Zootopia still has two more people to impress.
Arguably the harshest critics that there are in the world. Oh, no, we're pretty good. We're pretty good. So,
Fair and balanced.
Yeah, we're pretty good. Yeah. No, your friends probably have a bet at the moment, Jonathan, that it'll get a 7 from both of us. So...
Okay, so she becomes a parking officer, and this leads her to meet a Wily Fox.
I like Wily Foxes. I like Hawaiian shirt and tie combos on animated characters. I felt like I was going to like this guy when we first met him.
Foxes have that reputation in the world of Zootopia, and Nick, he lives up to it. We're introduced to him. He's got this great money-making scheme where he buys these giant, what are they, like, you know, ice pop things from the elephants.
Yes, from the elephant ice cream store, yeah.
And then they melt them down into these lots of little tiny ones and then sells them to the, what are they, I don't know, some sort of rodent-y, looking thing. And
gerbils or hamsters or something.
And Officer Hops thinks, surely this is violating some sort of health code, but he's got a backup for everything, an explanation for everything, and the little kid that he was using wasn't even a little kid to get the free ice pop.
He's very cute in his little elephant outfit and then very sneaky underneath.
Is a tiny, angry old fox.
Yeah.
So I like this guy. He's got the schemes. He's got the plans.
So people are going missing in Zootopia.
Yes. The Officer Hops she wants in on a case, and she gets the case because there's these missing person cases, and no one else is able to solve it. And the big buffalo, what is he, the police chief or whatever, doesn't want to have anything to do with it, but she refuses to back down, and she steps out of line and is like, well, you got to get, if you don't solve this in whatever, 72 hours, that's it. So the stakes are high. Not only do we have to find these missing persons, but if she doesn't, she could be kicked off the force. So
I thought this was very bizarre, this part, to be honest, where she'd agreed to take on a case to Mrs. Otterman or whatever to... And he got really mad at her and said, well, if you don't solve this in 48 hours, you're off the force. But, like, I feel like she didn't have to agree to that. He said, I'm under contract. Like, I've been signed up. This is going to reflect very poorly on, you know, the police force's diversity if you fire your first officer, Bunny, within you know, a week of her working there.
Maybe that was a comment on abuse of power, or maybe it was just, you know, sometimes you are forced into agreeing to things that maybe you shouldn't because you feel powerless.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, okay, fair. I'll let it slide. And so she's got to find these missing people or solve who's killing them or kidnapping them or whatever's happening. Find the hole or the well they're all falling down, whatever. And in particular, Mr. Ottoman is the one that sort of is her, you know, case officially.
Yeah, and without giving away any spoilers, I thought this was quite an elaborate case. It was something that I was intrigued by. You meet some interesting characters along the way when they're following clues, like they meet the sloth at the DMV.
Good.
They go to that sort of hippie nudist commune.
Okay, I had a question about this hippie nudist commune. That was pretty funny. And the movements the animals were making nude and the reactions were really good. But the one thing that's a bit confusing is, like, there was a bit of like, oh, this is weird, it's a nudist scully. Nick never wears pants, anyway.
Doesn't he?
Like, some of the... Yeah, I don't think Nick wears pants. So, like, no one... That elicits no reaction from anyone.
We might have to fact check that.
Oh no! Wait, sorry, my bad. He does wear pants. Yeah, I'll reverse that opinion.
But, yeah.
Wear pants.
In your defense, his pants are somewhat fox colored.
Yeah. My bad.
So, yeah, I thought that was just a funny premise, you know, people being a bit sort of shocked by nude animals not wearing clothes.
And so as animals, they could get away with some quite sort of inappropriate animals and, like, things that they wouldn't if it was a human movie, nudist camp, like...
And who else do we meet a sort of, I can't remember what he is, but a Godfather-type character.
Mr. Big.
Yeah, Mr. Big on the day of his daughter's wedding. So, some good original stuff, and then some funny sort of film references in there as well that we meet along the way during the case.
Yeah, I liked it. And we like this was a great movie for us in one sense. If it's done well, we love a good detective investigation.
Yeah, we. We're master crime solvers. We solved the case of the missing cookies.
Yeah, we are detectives on the side. Like, this is our part-time job. And so it was very exciting for us to see a movie which is detective-themed.
Yeah, we're like True Detective Season 1 level. Much better than Season 2 level of detectives.
Yeah, I would agree. I would agree with that. I didn't see Season 2, but I did not hear good things.
What?
So.
Widely panned.
Yeah. So, we've got all this stuff going down. We've got Officer Hops. We've got... And Nick Wilde ends up helping Officer Hops on the case. Like, there ends up being a few reasons, we won't go into them now, why they have to work together and sort of, you know, this whole, you know, you get... Two characters often in these sorts of things, they seem a bit different at first. They sort of, their fates become intertwined a bit, and they've got a... and I like seeing their relationship develop throughout the course of the movie. Oh, it was fun.
Yeah, there were definitely some good twists and turns, some good developments in the relationship, because historically foxes and rabbits didn't necessarily get on that well.
And particularly for Judy, she'd had some fox issues as a child. There was some bullies that were foxes.
We decided to keep this podcast spoiler free. So maybe we'll leave you there with the plot. Maybe we want to talk about some of the themes. What kind of themes did the film bring up?
Well, they had a dream theme, like a chase your dreams. Like, you know, yeah, got a dream, like, Officer Hobbs dreams being a police officer. Everyone tells her no, and she has a go at it. we won't spoil whether that was a mistake or not to follow your dreams, but I do think they're sort of commenting on that a bit. Jonathan?
Do you think that was a more deep or more successful take on that theme than in The Good Dinosaur, what was his name? Arlo, wanting to make his mark.
Yes.
I'll be honest, I think Officer Hops becoming a policeman, solving a missing person's case, far more interesting than Arlo, you know, being able to feed the chickens.
Yeah, I agree. And I feel like Arlo also, like, that wasn't even his dream to feed the chickens, or something his parents just said he had to do. Like, so, like, is a bit more inspiring, the Officer Hops story.
Yeah. Dream big, and maybe one day you can complete your chores.
Yeah. I think it's very, it taps into something, this idea of, you know, actually having a passion, having a drive, having a desire, and to feel like there are people that don't, like, think you can do that, or they, you know, like, or, you know, and actually having to not just overcome a particular obstacle in terms of, oh, there's a thing I have to do, but actually, like, the obstacle of someone else's perception and other people's perception, I think, is a particularly interesting theme.
Yeah, I think people's perception is quite interesting. You have, there was a line, something about, you know, I am, you know, what people think I am, or what people want me to be. And I think, in a way, this is sort of speaking to kids, but it can speak to adults as well. You know, if a kid is always told that he's dumb, you know, what's it, let's say he just doesn't really like math, and not that good at math, and they always say, oh, you're dumb, you're bad at math, then that kid is just going to think that they are dumb. It's sort of a self-fulfilling prophecy. They don't, you know, want to try hard at math, and then they don't ever become good at math. In the film, you have, you know, foxes, for example, you know, they're told that they're not trustworthy. So if everyone's like, says, you're not trustworthy, I'm not going to trust you, then why would you be trustworthy? You should just be an untrustworthy person and make the most of it. Or if you're a rabbit and everyone tells you, you know, you can't, or you can only farm carrots, you can't do anything else, then maybe, you know, it's going to be hard to do something else. So to see characters try and break out of that expectation, or to, you know, beat that perception, I thought was both a good message for the kids while still being, you know, quite interesting and engaging as an adult.
Yeah, I agree. And I think, like, there is something inspiring about Officer Hops, who doesn't buy into what everyone says. Like, she actually she tries her hardest to change that way people are thinking. And it's very cool when people do that. So, yeah. What are some other... I guess there is also the theme of fear.
Yeah, so at some point in the film, I guess, you know, people become suspicious of certain types of people. And I guess that's kind of used for political gain, or at least, you know, for ratings and things. You know, people are, oh, fear, can we trust these people? You know, these people, are they responsible for this? And, you know, I think that's, you know, quite relevant now, as it has been through history. And, you know, that's certainly been a powerful political tool, you know, used in House of Cards, even. It's if Zootopia is thematically on a similar level to season 4 of House of Cards, which we'll do a podcast on soon, you know they're getting into some deep stuff.
Mm, yes, so fear's a good one. Don't I think the two big themes that they touched on in the movie. Is there anything else you want to touch on, Jonathan?
Talk a bit about the plot. Was it funny? Was it entertaining? Did we enjoy did it make you laugh?
Yeah, I thought it was pretty funny. The scene with the sloth with Flash is pretty clever. And I think it's like a lot of cute funny too. We're just like funny the like shops and the train station and little things like that. I don't think it's like a 30 Rock script or an Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt, sort of like a Tina Fey writing where you got like a joke in every single line, every single, like, there's some lines that are there to tell the story and have a bit more character development and things, but I found it pretty funny. I definitely found it, I was entertained the whole way through, and there were some bits that I thought were really funny.
Yeah, I thought there weren't too many cheesy lines or corny lines or things that were clearly just thrown in for the kids. And I thought the relationship, the repartee between Officer Hops and Nick was really good. They had some good banter that definitely kept you entertained. So definitely got some laughs from me too.
The cheetah was great.
The cheetah... Yeah, he was definitely
great reactions to things. He had the best reactions to things.
Just even just thinking of like his cheeks makes me laugh for some reason.
Yeah. Yeah.
What was that thing he was watching? He was like watching like viral videos on his phone. Like
of Giselle or whatever, the singer. It was played by Shakira.
Yeah, Shakira, Giselle, a gazelle, the pop star. So yeah, there were some sort of funny kind of like pop culture references there that I thought were done quite well. They weren't too, they didn't seem like they were trying too hard. They just sort of funny things that would come up in this world of Zootopia, which I enjoyed.
What was the app that the cheetah had, which was like, I don't know, he could put his face on a Giselle music video or something like that. that was really funny.
He walks in on the chief police buffalo, and you can hear the music.
Yeah. Oh man, Shakira, he goes good. That song, and they do a spoiler. No, this isn't really a spoiler, but at the end, Shakira has a song that she's written for the movie as Giselle, which is fun.
Will it? That's gonna get nominated for best song, right?
I don't know. Hopefully, I hope so. It's good. It's become one of the Foxtrot gang songs. Like it's made our playlist from when we go away together. So
yeah. You're driving to the club. It's your turn up.
I went away with the Foxtrot gang for Easter, right? Since we're over Easter, I got them all a little bag of Easter goodies for the morning for them to enjoy. I think some little M&M eggs, a little Malteser bunny, a Cadbury cream egg.
Oh, I love those.
Yeah. And I got them all a little Zootopia figure that was like their character, like whichever one they were most like from Zootopia.
That's a very sweet idea. But one that can easily go horribly wrong. Because if someone does not identify with that character, they may resent it.
Well, on Good Friday, we were like, have a bit of wine and have a bit of a chat around, you know, the couches or whatever. So I was like, hey, do you reckon if we were characters in Zootopia, who would be who?
So everybody had already claimed their character?
Close to, yeah. I need to make a few like slight adjustments based on what figures were in the set of the figures I had.
Couldn't spend weeks like collecting them all, going from Toys R Us to Toys R Us. Oh man, Linda said she was the cheetah, but I just can't find it anywhere.
Yes. Anyway, do you guess what character I got? Because I like the group. Then from all the leftover characters, pick the one for me.
If you got a leftover character, who'd you be? You're kind of Foxy, but I'd imagine Nick would have gone pretty early.
Nick ironically did not go to the guy in the group called Nick. It went to Will in the group. Will's a bit more Foxy than me, probably more.
Who would you be? I'll just pick someone. Mr. Ottoman.
Oh, Mr. Ottoman, that's interesting. Was there a Mr. Ottoman figure? There's a Mrs. Ottoman figure that went to Grace. I don't think there was actually... There was just a Mrs. Ottoman, believe it or not. I got... I got the little guy dressed as the elephant.
He's perhaps a little more rough around the edges than you.
Well, I said I'm, like, sweet on the outside.
Just with the soul of a con artist.
That's me. Anyway, do you want one, Jonathan? I've got a few leftovers.
Sure.
Got the two rabbit parents. Obviously, Hops's parents. Got the lion.
The mayor.
Mayor lion. Got Flash.
Oh, I only just got that. Wait, no, that's not even. I didn't get it.
Did you only just get?
It doesn't even make sense. When you said mare, I was like, oh yeah, because like a lion has a mane. Oh, wait, wrong word. Close. Brain fart. Moving on.
Fun. A little Easter surprise. I think the group was pretty pleased.
Very good.
Sure, they're all a pride of place on all of their bedside tables, so it's like what they all see when they go to bed each night.
Very good. So, it's time for a screen verdict. Zootopia. I didn't have particularly high expectations for a non-Pixar animated film. I saw the Sloth trailer. I thought it was kind of funny. I don't think I thought it was as funny as some other people did in the theater. But when I got into the film, I really liked the characters. I thought the detective story was actually as good as most detective stories, actual detective films. I thought there's some really good messages in there. It was funny. I think it was great for kids and parents. I really can't fault it. And it just had this kind of like X factor that just made you feel good. It just had that, we talk about Pixar, those films that are just like a really engaging world and the things that make it believable and suck you in. I feel like Zootopia had that. And that positive message just had me walking out of the cinema on a high. I don't believe it, but I'm going to give Zootopia a 9 out of 10.
It was funny. It was a great detective story. I love great detective stories. Really good two lead characters. I had a rumor that they originally were going to make Nick Wilde the lead character. Then they like tested it and changed it to the Officer Hops. Good call. I think it was good to have a female lead. It was good to have Officer Hops as the central character and Nick more the side one. Animation I really liked. I really liked the character design, the location design. It was not too long. It was... I really, really liked this film. I had a good time with mates. It's a good song at the end. One of the best anime films I've seen in a while. Well, since Inside Out, because that was amazing. I gave this one a 9 out of 10 as well.
Ooh. Watch out, 2016 ESPYs.
Hey, Zootopia could be in the mix. Any other year, it probably would be.
Historically, 18's a very good score. Well, there
boy,
you go.
Boy.
Zootopia, get on it.
Okay. Yeah, for sure. It sounds like, yeah, you got to now. Like,
I was going to say a lot of people might have slept on Zootopia, although it did do like 900 mil at the box office, so they're not hurting for an audience.
Yeah. I'm glad it did well, though. That is good. Yes, very, very good. Oh, that's great. And the Foxtrot gang will be stoked that we loved it.
Very good. Any quick housekeeping for us, Matt?
I have I did an interview for Gold Derby this week with a Gold Derby, with a Screen Verdict favourite of ours. It's pretty exciting.
Tony Hale.
No, do you want to play a clip? Do you want to play a clip of the interview and you can guess who it is from The Voice?
Sure.
We turn it on mute before I just say the person's name. That would be a disaster. I'm trying to find out that they're talking.
That reminds me.
What, sorry?
This is kind of mean, really. But this, in like year 10 English, we had to read a poem in front of the class. And this girl goes up to read. The poem, I guess, is sort of like a riddle. It's kind of like describes, you know, says things and reveals things about yourself. And at the end, I guess you're supposed to guess who it is, or it's revealed who it is. And she just comes out and she just goes, "The mirror." No, oh, I wasn't supposed to read the title.
I like that. I like that. That's funny. So here we go. I'll play a clip. This is them talking. Who do you think this is?
Whatever, it would be good for everyone that worked on it, and that, so that's why I really kind of try to do what I can to kind of keep us in that conversation by doing, you know, shit like this, whatever, you know.
I don't know. It did. Nothing immediately jumps out at me, and it's kind of a distinct voice too.
I just randomly picked a clip there. That is the clip I would have picked if I could have picked any clip from the interview.
I don't know. It's a guy. He sounds kind of young. Who's a young guy that we like?
Young male. You were correct on both of those two counts.
I don't think this is it, but I just got to guess something so it's not dead space on the podcast. I'm going to guess Dan from Veep.
No. It is not Dan from Veep. So there you go.
Tune in next week to see how Jonathan's second guess goes.
It was okay. They're in one of our favorite sitcoms from the past 5 years.
What do we like? It's Always Sunny.
They were nominated for an ESPY.
Oh my goodness, this is
embarrassing.
They were
nominated this year for an ESPY, but maybe not for the show that was one of our favorites.
Who did we nominate?
They were nominated for an ESPY.
Oh my gosh! Who was there? Bob Odenkirk. Like Jonah? Jonah from Veep?
No.
Who were our nominees?
Do you want me to tell you who it is?
Sure.
It's Aziz Ansari.
Oh my goodness. That's a good get. I'd say in terms of star power. That's got to be probably one of, like, the top 10 people you've interviewed, right?
Yeah, that's probably why you didn't guess it, because it was probably a bit out of your, like, range.
You're like, oh, not close. It was Spielberg.
Yeah, yeah. So, yeah, no, he did, in his words, shit like this with me. I brought that up later in the interview. I think this is at the end, maybe. Set up in the comedy races, so.
Yeah, I mean, and that happens, and it's shitty, and it's like, you know, there's nothing you can do about that.
Yeah. Well, thanks so much for doing some shit like this with us today.
I mean that to beat the beating.
No, it was not taking it out at all.
I feel like it's much easier to recognize someone impersonating Aziz Ansari than Aziz Ansari just speaking normally.
He was very different. Like, he was, like, a bit less high energy than he is
in the show. There's a stand-up called KT Tatara. Anyway, he has a funny bit where he tells this joke, and it kind of just gets, like, moderate laughs, and he goes, that never gets good laughs. I think it's a lot funnier than other people do. Maybe because I'm not high energy enough. Would it be funnier if I did it as Aziz Ansari? And then he just does the joke again as Aziz Ansari, and it kills.
Yeah. Oh, that's good. yeah. And how's the stand-up going for you, Jonathan, at the moment? Done any big gigs the last week or two?
Yeah, had a couple of spots at the Comedy Store, which is exciting. Judd Apatow dropped in for a set.
Whoa!
Pretty lucky that I went before Judd Apatow. Would really have wanted to follow him. That would have been a tall order.
Was he in there when you did your set? Or does he just, like, rock up when it's his set and then leave as soon as it's done?
Yeah, people ask me, oh, did he see your set? Like, you could blow, you could become famous if you saw him. Like, I'm pretty sure... I think he's famous enough where he can't really hang around. Like, he... Yeah. I didn't see him come in, so I don't know. Okay. I did only go up two people before him, so it's possible... But I did see him on the way out, and that was a quick exit. So, but pretty cool nonetheless.
Very cool. Oh, Jonathan, opening for Judd Apatow.
So there we go. Zootopia done, down, lock it in. Coming up, I think we got House of Cards.
And Captain America, Civil War. I think it'll be two next podcast, yeah.
Very good. So, if you have any other things that you particularly want us to do, there are some other shows out at the moment, like Girls or Kimmy Schmidt. Probably get around to them all eventually, but if you're keen to hear something specific, let us know at facebook.com/screenverdictpodcast.
Yeah,
we'll make sure it goes to the top of the list.
Captain America, Civil War, some pressure on it. Can it be Batman vs. Superman?
Yeah. A bar has been set.
Yeah. What is our bar? What's our combined score on Batman vs. Superman? I know I gave it 1.5 out of 10.
I think I gave it a 6. So a 7.5 out of 20.
Okay. One of us gives it a 7. The other will only need to give it a half to Tommy.
There we go. Wow.
Yeah. Boy, that'll be interesting. Okay, cool.
Thanks a lot for tuning in. Hope you enjoyed the podcast. And we'll catch you next week.
Yes.